Hi, I'm Rick Reynolds, and you're listening to A Fair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, sponsors, or advertisers of this station. Due to the sensitive nature of the topics discussed on this program, it is not suitable for children, so we strongly advise that children not be within listening range of this program. Also, please be advised that while we are counselors, what we're doing here tonight is not counseling, and if you have a need, we strongly advise that you seek professional help. The Affair Recovery Center is a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered the pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We truly believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Hi, I'm Wayne Baker, and I'm here with Leslie Hardy tonight. Rick and John are out of town, so you're stuck with the two of us. It's your lucky night. We're placing bets, though, that Rick is probably going to call in. I'm sure he is, don't you think,
probably.
Leslie?
Yeah, probably. If he can get cell phone service in the middle of nowhere.
Really, exactly.
But tonight we're going to be talking about how to have an affair. And as we start tonight's program, we want to be clear that we're not promoting affairs.
Right.
a lot of times people who don't intend to have affairs engage in all kinds of behavior, all kinds of thought, that really leads them into falling over the edge into an affair. Affairs, let us be clear, destroy marriages, families, churches. They eat up time at work. I think Rick was saying recently that the average lost time at work is a full month for people who were having affairs on the work site. I could go on and on and on, but I do want to be clear that we do not promote affairs. Shirley Glass is an author who was one of the, I guess, the nation's leading experts in infidelity. She wrote a book, Not Just Friends, and she says that 90% of couples, individuals who are married, say clearly that monogamy is important. But at the same time, these same individuals, 50% of them have had affairs. So the bottom line is a lot of people who are not intending to be unfaithful end up in affairs.
Wow. Yeah. It's amazing.
It is. Tonight, as we were talking about this, I was thinking about it, and I Googled how to have an affair, and I got over 11,000 hits.
Wow.
But only two of them that I could find, and I didn't go through all 11,000, but I went through quite a few. All of them except for two were actually promoting affairs, telling people how they could have affairs and not be caught. You can actually buy a book over Amazon.
Wow.
So this is something that a lot of people are talking about.
That's amazing. Well, especially with what you said, you know, that the divorce rate. Well, divorce rate's 50%, and what was the statistic?
that over 90% of it, married individuals believe monogamy is really important in marriage. And yet they're having affairs.
Yeah, but half of them are having an affair. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So as we start our program tonight, we would like to invite any of you out there listening who have either had an affair or whose spouse has had an affair to call in and share with us the thoughts, behavior that either you or your spouse engaged in that kind of led you up to the edge of an affair. And once again, I want to be very, very clear. People are responsible for their infidelity. Affairs don't just happen, but a lot of times there are certain behaviors that people engage in and they don't realize how dangerous they are.
Yeah, we call those seemingly unimportant decisions. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So please give us a call at area code 512-365-9930. And tell us about how you found yourself in an affair.
So Leslie, you're probably the resident expert.
I don't know.
I'm not saying based on
experience
or anything. but what how do how do couples get into this mess?
Well, I think really the number one thing that people do to encourage themselves to have an affair is they lie to themselves. They tell themselves whatever. They're not honest to themselves about how they're doing, what they're doing, how they're feeling. And so they're deceiving themselves and kind of blindly walking ahead. I think the other thing that people do that tend to promote affairs is they lie to their spouses. They lie to their spouses about a lot of things. They lie to them about how they're doing in the marriage. For example, a few months back, I had a couple that came in, and she thought that they had been perfectly happy. And one Sunday afternoon, he got up and said, "I've had it. I'm out of here." And he left. And that was it. And she had no idea that he'd been that unhappy in the course of their 9-year marriage. But a lot of times people lie to their spouse about who they're going to lunch with, what are the arrangements for business trips, what they're actually doing on business trips.
Yeah.
And they don't necessarily intend to be unfaithful, but it's the lies that become the problem. So what are some of the things that you see, Wayne?
How do you lie to yourself like that? What is it through? I'm just thinking of the defense mechanisms that we talk about: justification and minimization,
denial,
yeah, rationalization, those kinds of things. Do you see it starting that way?
Well, I do, because I think a lot of people tell themselves, "I would never have an affair.
I'd never do that. I'll go up to this far, but then I can stop it."
Yeah, I can flirt. I can look. I can have lunch. I can do all kinds of things. But I'm the kind of person who would never have an affair. And I think that that's probably the biggest way that people deceive themselves. They think that somehow they have better character than anybody else, and so they're incapable of it. And it's those very people that end up in our offices. So what are some of the things that you see, Wayne, that people do to really have an affair, even if they don't mean to?
Well, I think... along those same lines, maybe the next thing is you allow yourself, or they allow themselves to get attached to somebody in the office. Usually, it starts off maybe innocently, but then you begin to cultivate that relationship. What we called grooming behaviors, the nonverbal communication and the flirting, I think that's what you had said earlier too, and it just they become the object of your affection. So you do things like figure out ways to connect, to get together, whether accidentally, on purpose, you know, but ways to meet up. So that's one thing I see early on.
Well, and I don't know if you've read this, but I read this a few months ago. There's actually a phenomenon, I can't say that word, something going on in the workplace.
Unexplainable.
Phenomenon. There, I said it. That there's something called an office spouse.
Mm.
And that 30% of people who were interviewed in this survey said that they actually had an office spouse. And a lot of times, this is the person that they're spending a lot of time with. Their spouse doesn't even know about this person necessarily. But they've connected. They work together. They have a strong bond. They rely on each other. And that becomes a pretty dangerous relationship. But a lot of people are being very glib about it and accepting.
Well, I guess, too, that it could just get so habitual that initially they're not even aware of it. Is that what you're saying, too?
Yeah. They go to work, they check in with this person, they talk about their work, they do projects together, they rely on each other, they have each other's back, that kind of thing. So they become a really strong partnership. And the problem really becomes that they've never even told their spouse. And so they're really more attached to this person at work than they are to their spouse.
Yeah, who you're spending 8 to 12 hours a day with,
right,
in many cases. So when things get bad at home, then you begin to rely on that office spouse, trusting them with information that really ought to be just for the spouse.
Yeah, because one of the things that people do a lot to unintentionally or intentionally promote having an affair is they begin to talk to somebody that they could potentially become sexually involved with about their marriage. And so two people will begin to talk to each other about their spouse and how, you know, things at home aren't so good. And they develop a really, really deep connection with other people. And it becomes quite dangerous.
Yeah, and I'm guessing, too, that they start comparing that office spouse to the spouse at home, the real one.
Well, and I think we've said it from time to time. Yeah, they absolutely do. But you can never compare an affair with a marriage. It's apples and oranges. It's reality versus fantasy. People forget why they fell in love with their spouses.
Yeah, they rewrite history.
And they forget that real love's different than falling in love.
That's good. So I think we're up on a break. We'd love to hear from you, to hear your stories and about how you fell into an affair or how you got yourself out of it. Or we'd be happy to answer any questions, too. So please give us a call at area code 512-365-9930. And we'll see you in just a few minutes.
Thank you.
Hope. Hope for the brokenhearted. Hope for those who have made a mistake. Hope for those impacted by betrayal. Hope for couples who feel no hope. The Affair Recovery Center is designed to offer hope, direction, and help for couples and individuals whose lives have been ripped by infidelity. There is hope at the Affair Recovery Center. We can all personally testify to what God can do by what we have personally experienced. Let us help. We are a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We can be reached at affairrecovery.com, or you can call toll-free at 888-527-2367. That's 888-527-2367.
So welcome back. Just want to give you the phone number again. It's 512-365-9930. We would love to hear from you guys.
Tonight we're talking about how to have an affair. Not in the sense that we're promoting affairs, but in the way that a lot of people who don't intend to be unfaithful end up being unfaithful.
Yeah, find themselves in this.
So we've talked about a few ways that people set themselves up to have affairs. What's another thing, Wayne?
Well, I think one thing people do is we begin to define ourselves by our temptation. I thought it, therefore it might be real, and I might as well go ahead and do it. We define ourselves by temptation. If we did that, then Jesus would actually be the most vile person, evil person that would ever walk the planet. Scripture's clear about him being tempted in all things. And we clearly know he was not the most vile or evil person on the planet. So then if we define ourselves, so we shouldn't be defining ourselves by our temptation either. That's not who we are.
Right.
Would you say anything else about that?
No, I do see people do that. Just because they thought about it, then they think, well, gosh, I'm a terrible person. I might as well do it.
Mm-hmm.
But absolutely, you cannot define yourself by your temptations.
Yeah.
Another thing that we mentioned earlier, but I see it over and over, and I think it really bears mentioning, is people are in danger, truly, when they're flirting with anybody besides their mate. A lot of people talk about harmless flirting, but really it isn't harmless. If your marriage is good, it may not be as dangerous, but flirting's really about getting validation, affirmation from another person instead of getting it either from God or from your mate. Mm. And I think I see a lot of people do that and even justify it. Nice Christian people go, oh, it's just harmless flirting.
It's just fun.
Yeah, it is fun because it makes them feel better,
right.
Which falling in love makes them feel better too.
That's right. Well, I think another reason or another thing people do is they end up taking better care of somebody else than they do of their spouse, somebody that they could become sexually or romantically involved with besides their mate. And that looks like having more concern or more compassion for them and what's going on and neglecting things at home.
Yeah, a lot of times I'll see couples where the wife will kind of describe her husband has to be a hero to everybody else, but when she asks him to do anything, he's just not there. And I think one of the things that's so dangerous about that kind of goes back to what I said about the flirting. They're looking for the validation, affirmation from somebody that they could potentially become sexually involved with. Mm-hmm. And it becomes very, very dangerous. Yeah. One really, really big one, and I hear people throw this term around a lot, and so you may want to describe how you would define boundaries. But a lot of times people ignore having good boundaries. They put themselves in situations that are really, really dangerous. They'll get in cars with female coworkers after they've been out at happy hour. That's a potentially dangerous situation. Good boundaries are being able to tell yourself, you know, I need some kind of checkpoints to make sure that I'm not doing anything that's inappropriate. And sometimes people, I think, get a little bit rigid on mm-hmm. this. But I think it is a good thing to really talk about with your spouse and to be honest with yourself. What are dangerous situations for you? Something that may not be dangerous for another person, maybe something that's dangerous for you. Had a client that actually was not able to be in a business situation behind a closed door with a female. That was a dangerous situation for him. He was setting himself up.
Yeah. Excuse me. I think the whole boundary issue, I love what you just said, because we can swing too far the other way and be rigid or legalistic about some things too. And I don't think that's what we're advocating, but whatever you do, your spouse needs to know.
Right.
You know, there should be no secrets.
Well, and sometimes I've seen people have more faith in having good boundaries than in being honest with themselves mm-hmm. about when they're in danger, when they really need the Lord. I mean, the Bible tells us over and over and over that we're weak. And when we're weak, he's strong. But a lot of times we tell ourselves, I'm strong. I don't need any kind of guidelines. But sometimes we have too much faith in the guidelines, and we just go right over them.
Yeah, and I think all of this, what we've talked about here the last few minutes, is it all points down to, and you've used the word validation a couple times, and a lot of that points to the fact that we are looking for validation from somebody of the opposite sex, somebody other than our spouse. That really, I mean, it's a nice to have. We all want to be validated, but the source of it can't be somebody else.
Yeah, and if you find yourself, you know, getting ready for work in the morning and you're thinking about getting dressed for a person, you're in a dangerous spot. You may not even be aware that that's where your emotions have gone. But in the morning as you're getting ready, ask yourself, am I getting ready for somebody? Because a lot of people are not even consciously aware of it until they've really jumped in with both feet.
Yeah, it can be a really quiet, subtle little voice in our head.
Yeah, another thing that people do a lot is that they consume alcohol in situations that are potentially dangerous. We talk about kind of triggers for different people. If somebody is triggered by beautiful women, and they go to a bar and they're consuming a lot of alcohol, they really are setting themselves up to do something, to act on it. Alcohol impairs our judgment. And, you know, not to say that people can enjoy a glass of wine mm-hmm. now and then, but a lot of times, business trips, people will sit down with a coworker, have dinner, have a few drinks, and suddenly they find themselves really looking at that other person thinking, wow, they're really attractive. I know that when we were in high school, we used to make jokes about some of the people that people found attractive after drinking a lot.
Right.
But it just, it impairs your judgment, and it makes you forget who you really are and what you really want.
Yeah. Well, I think along those same lines, and having traveled for many, many years, when I was in corporate America, eating and going out to dinner and eating and drinking with members of the opposite sex, especially if it's just one-on-one, that can potentially lead to some dangerous situations, even unintended ones. And it gets harder and harder, I think, with more and more women in the workforce, more and more women traveling for work, more and more women having positions that were held by men typically in the past. And I don't mean that in any kind of sexist way.
No.
You know me, but but I think it's there, and it's got to be addressed and talked about.
Well, the opportunities are there, unlike in the past.
Right.
Just more and more.
More and more of them. Right. That's true. So what else? When we turn to somebody else other than our mate, particularly when we're having problems in the marriage, and we kind of, a lot of these are interwoven, but either on a business trip or office worker, coworker, when we turn to them when we're having problems and just share whatever the problems may be.
Yeah, if you're having problems at home, problems with your spouse, please do not share that information with anyone that you could potentially become sexually involved with. And I keep using that term intentionally, because sometimes we say somebody of the opposite sex, but some of the clients we have are more drawn to people of the same sex.
Right.
And so I just want to be clear there.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But and along those same lines, a lot of people truly set themselves up to have an affair because they have unrealistic expectations of their mate and of their marriage. They expect this person to make them feel great 24/7. They expect their marriage to be natural, fulfilling, without any kind of work. And I think that's how people are setting themselves up more and more and more. 30 years ago, people had different expectations of marriage than they do today.
Yeah, not to slam any of the dating groups or the groups that put people together based on compatibility, but don't you feel like that's what they're selling? Is this notion, this idea that there's a person out there that's just for you, and life is just going to be great if you just find them?
Right, because we use the marriage model we use in our practice is based on long-term research done by a man named John Gottman. And the only difference he has found between the couples who've been married for 50 years and they're both happy, he calls them the masters, and those who are not, their interactions are 5 times more positive than negative. So a lot of times, I think people do put too much stock in whether it's compatibility or complementary or whatever it is, and they begin to tell themselves, oh my gosh, I married the wrong person. My life would be okay if I could find the right person.
Mm-hmm.
And so they begin to look for that right person, even though they're still married.
Yeah, especially when things get bad. Like we said earlier, we rewrite history so that the good times, well, they weren't so good, and the bad times were actually worse than they really were many times.
Yeah, and for that kind of person, I really encourage you to go back and consider when you met your spouse, what drew you to them in the beginning, because by the time people come into our office, a lot of times they have forgotten those things. They've discounted those things. They've put them away. But those things were there. And Dave Carter says, and I can't give all the specifics, but basically he says, if your marriage has ever been good, that in spite of infidelity, in spite of hard times, you can get back to that place. But people are believing that God wants them happy, and that what would make them happy would be to be married to the right person. So there's this whole fantasy thing that's going on in our culture right now. And I think they do that with sex, too.
Mm-hmm.
That if I'm married to the right person, then our sexual relationship should always be fireworks and 4th of July. and they begin to kind of skew their perspective of their sexual relationship as well as their marriage and their mate.
Yeah.
And that's my soapbox.
It's a good one to stand on. It is. Well, another thing that people do is along those lines is we play games in our head. And it's a short step from thought to action. We play all these what ifs, kind of like what you're saying, what ifs. If sex could be so much better with that person or with this, it is better. You know, it's not better, it's just illicit. So that kind of makes it a little more exciting in the natural.
Right, because Christopher West talks about sex, and he says there's only two kinds of sex. There's marital sex and there's non-marital sex. And the two can never be the same, but he would also say marital sex can be quite satisfying. But if you think about the kind of sex that we watch on television, it's almost never with a spouse.
Right.
It just isn't. And
when there are a lot of takes and editing of film and it looks great, but it's
right.
It's edited.
Because if they show marital sex, they're always making a joke of it.
Right. That's true. You know, I love what, I guess I don't know where Rick hears that says this, but you don't begin to have great sex until after you've been married 30 years, right?
That's what he says. We need to find out where yet. He got that yeah, from. Right. But kind of going along with confusing reality and fantasy, Scott Peck in his book, A Road Less Traveled, talks about the difference between falling in love and true love. And that's an important thing to keep in mind because falling in love is infatuation. True love is a choice. It's a relationship with a real person. So,
yeah.
Please give us a call, 512-365-9930. Look forward to talking to you.
Does your life seem void of meaning? Do you struggle with depression? Is marriage not turning out as expected? Are you disappointed in the intimacy you share? Has an unwanted behavior taken your life hostage? Do uncontrollable feelings flood uninvited into your life? If so, we can help. Crossroads Counseling is a group of highly trained mental health professionals dedicated to Jesus. Crossroads Counseling is unique in its team approach. Each member has developed a specialty in order to complement their overall goal of helping each person they serve experience the freedom and abundant life afforded through the life of Christ. Give us a call, 512-346-9299. That's 512-346-9299. Or visit our website at crossroads-counseling.net. There is hope and healing. We believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal. Welcome back. You're listening to Affair Recovery Radio. Our phone number once again is 512-365-9930. Please give us a call. We actually have John who called in.
Hey, John.
Sweet husband. How's Florida?
It's very hot and sunny, as you might expect.
Is it? So, John, what are some of the ways that you see clients set themselves up to have affairs?
Well, I think, I don't know if I could really add on to much of what you guys have said. I think just sort of being, you know, first of all, not honest with their motives and their own desires. And I think, you know, just kind of not keeping their eyes open.
So how are you making sure you have good boundaries since you're traveling out of town?
Did you do a travel plan?
Well, the fact that I'm sitting here in my hotel room, you
know, talking to us on the radio.
I'm in Palm Beach and I'm sitting in my hotel room. You
know? Yeah.
So is there anything that we've said so far that you disagree with or you'd like to elaborate on?
No, I mean, don't feel like there's a whole lot I could add on. I think you guys are doing a really nice job, and I just wanted to call in and give my support.
Well, I appreciate that.
Now I know why she loves you so much.
And he is cute.
Yeah. Well, that too. In a big bear sort of way.
So we do appreciate you calling in. It's not quite the same in the studio, just yeah. Wayne and I.
Well, you guys sound good. I'll hang up and keep listening.
Well, right. Thanks, John. Thanks for
John.
Calling.
We love you.
So as we were going into break, I was talking a little bit about the difference between fallen in love and true love. Scott Peck does talk about it. He says infatuation is falling in love, and after that, to have true love, you actually have to fall into love, out of love, and choose love. But a lot of us in our culture are expecting passion from our marriage 24/7. I had a client, I guess a couple of months ago, she was sitting in my office. She had been having an affair and had decided to follow God and come back to her marriage and her family. And those are her words, not mine. But she was talking about how she had to grieve the fact that she would never have that feeling of falling in love again. And I think that there certainly can be that aspect, but I also think that you can flirt with your mate. You can go back to the things that drew you. You can have those moments that are better than an affair as you experience that spark between you with the person that you have true love with. One thing that I see people do over and over and over is, as females, as Christian females, I think we're very aware of the male version of fantasy and lust. And actually, as women in our society, I think that we're starting to buy into that some and do it also. The number of females who are looking at pornography is growing. And it used to be said that men were visually stimulated, women were not. And that's shifting some as women are looking more at more pornography. But the other thing that I see Christian women do to set themselves up to be vulnerable to an affair is I think we Christian women have our own version of fantasy and lust. I think our version of lust is when we look at the pastor, we go to a counselor, kind, caring Christian man. We look at a friend's husband who seems to be godly, care about her emotions, and we think, if my husband could be like that guy, I'd be okay. And I think our version of fantasy is we believe there is that guy. Because one of the fastest growing, I guess, portions of the population that is engaging in affairs is Christian women.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because they're looking for an emotional connection, the validation that they think their husbands should be giving them, and they think that somebody else out there will. And they find the person who will.
At least for a short term.
Yeah, until
possibly longer.
Get married again and have a real relationship again.
Exactly.
But I do think a lot of Christian women are buying into that fantasy.
Yeah, I think fantasy plays a huge role in this for men and women. And I think fantasy becomes such a a habitual part of a man's life that we can do it so subtly, and so, and we've done it for years that we're not even aware of it after a while. It's just part of who we become, or who we think we are.
Well, and I would say that as women, we often do it also, but we do it differently. We read the books, The Happily Ever After. The person who will sweep us off our feet, take care of us forever, and really does care about every single emotion that we have, and we can have a lot. So. Yeah.
Well, that ought to be I would think that should be a heads up to Christian women out there. If there's a man that can be concerned about your every emotion, and he's studied you and women very hard for a very long time, would that be a red flag?
Oh, that's a big waving red flag. A couple of years ago, I had a woman who had been in an affair, and her husband had actually been my client for quite a while. And kind of in the final hour, as they were about to be divorced, she asked him if there was anything she could do to maybe not go down this road, and he said, come home. Well, part of the coming home was he had given her permission to come and talk to me, and he told me I could share with her whatever I needed to. And he had shared with me a lot. But as she spoke of her affair partner, she said, well, he knows exactly what I want to hear. He knows exactly how to make me feel good. And she said, isn't that how it's supposed to be? And I said, no. I said, because the guy who has studied women that carefully, it's not usually out of care and compassion and love. They usually are the kind of men who know how to make a woman feel because they know how to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that definitely is a red flag.
Yeah. Yep. So I think another way you can set yourself up to have an affair is focus on how your partner has let you down and ignore how many times you may have let them down.
Right. I think that's a really, really big one that I see a lot in my office. I don't know how often you see that, but I probably see it at least every day.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, as they feel let down or they feel bored, lonely, or neglected, then they begin to look outside of their marriage because they think, I'm not getting what I want. This person has let me down. And so now I'm going to start looking for what I think I need or even deserve. There's a little bit of an entitlement issue going on with a lot of people, whether they're aware of it or not. They think they deserve something that they're not getting.
And you begin to tell yourself that your mate doesn't appreciate you or understand you. And there again, we look for validation. That's just a big thread that runs through this whole thing, I think. Look for validation outside the marriage.
Well, and as they feel sorry for themselves, which a lot of it is, they don't work on their marriage. They don't plan dates. They don't have fun together. They stop working on the relationship because they feel sorry for themselves and they think the other person doesn't deserve them.
Yeah, don't you see it in your practice? I see it in mine where I'll tell couples that they've got to go on a date and they look at me like I'm the Antichrist sometimes. Like, what are we going to talk about? So I know you and I, as doing the training with Gottman, that we have a lot of assignments to give them to help them talk.
Right, because, you know, I don't know how long that some of you have been married, but the average couple comes into marriage counseling 6 years later than they should have. And really, the marital friendship is in trouble. And it's important to take care of the marital friendship. Going back to Gottman, in his research, he finds that most couples begin to do poorly when they make the transition from husband and wife to mom and dad because they don't date. They don't talk to each other except about the kids. And so it's really important for you to take time for each other and to rebuild the marital friendship.
Yeah, and speaking of Gottman, we have a real treat here in Austin, Texas. If you were listening a few weeks ago when I had Dr. Vogdevi Munier on the show, she and some of her associates are doing a Gottman workshop here. It's called The Art and Science of Love, and it's July 28th and 29th from 9 to 5, I think, each morning. And I was hoping to give you a website, but I do have a phone number for that workshop. It is great material. This is, if not if you're struggling through an infidelity particularly, but for just a great marriage workshop. Because what Leslie is saying and what we both see is that couples don't work on the marriage as much as they should or could. So the phone number is 587-2499. 587-2499 if you're interested in that. It will be a great weekend. So there, Vogdavia, if you're listening, we plugged your seminar again because we love you. But the other thing that I was thinking about is one thing I've started asking couples to do in addition to their date and not talk about their kids or finances or anything, but really, like you just said, work on the friendship. I think sometimes there needs to be another, and I learned this from a couple that I've worked with. They do a staff meeting once a week, mm-hmm. where that's where they get together and they talk about bills, they talk about kids and curriculum and school. And then one of the things this couple does that's so amazing is they ask each other at the end of that meeting, have I offended you or hurt your feelings at all this week?
Wow.
That takes a lot of courage to
ask
that, I think.
It does take a lot of courage because, yeah, a lot of these things that we're going to continue to talk about are connected to one spouse maybe not being honest with the other spouse about when they've been hurt or when they've been let down.
Yeah, that's good.
And kind of going back to the having fun together, a lot of times people will talk about how much fun they have in their affair. And Shirley Glass would say, so why can't you be the person in your marriage that you are in the affair? And I think that's a really good question to ask yourself.
Very good.
So,
okay, so I think we're going to take another break here, and please give us a call. We would love to hear from you. The phone number here is 365-9930. We'll be back in just a minute.
Believe in modern day miracles? I do, because daily I witness them as couples who are torn asunder by infidelity are reconciled. Hi, I'm Rick Reynolds, founder of the Affair Recovery Center. Please join us each Sunday evening from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time at Affair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God, where we witness on an ongoing basis the miracles of God. We have seen and witnessed that there is nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Welcome back. Please give us a call at 512-365-9299. Tonight we're talking about how to have an affair. Not because we promote infidelity, but because a lot of times people unintentionally or intentionally engage in behavior that they may think is risky or fun that actually leads to an affair. So that's what we're talking about tonight. If you or your spouse wants to give us a call and share with us some of your story, how you set yourself up to kind of fall over the fence into an affair, please give us a call. As we go through this list, want to be clear that we don't want to come across as harsh or judging. As I read through this list, gratefully, I've never had an affair, but I've done a lot of these things. And so we don't want to come across as judging you. We believe that God's grace is sufficient for all of us, whether we've engaged in any of these behaviors or not. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Yeah, and it's not like it's a list of do's and don'ts. We don't want to do that. But these are just some things consistently that we see in our practices day in and day out.
That we encourage you that if you see yourself in any of these, to prayerfully consider the steps that you need to take. If you need to get help, if you need to talk to somebody, if you need to talk to your spouse and say, hey, I realize, you know, I've been flirting with this person a lot. Just in opening up that conversation, it dispels some of the magic that has been going on.
Yeah.
So we are going to continue to talk about some other ways that people set themselves up to be vulnerable to having an affair. So what would you say, Wayne?
Well, I think along the lines of being intimate with your mate and just building that friendship is that we avoid talking about our feelings and where we've been hurt. I think that's what you ended up with before the break. And being honest with yourself about who you are and what you want from life, what you dream about, and listening to what your spouse dreams about.
Absolutely, because you don't even have to have the same dreams to be able to have a wonderful marriage. But it is important for you to be able to share authentically who you are. I've dealt with couples that came in and wanted to have better sexual relationships. Well, the program that we use, the first exercise that they do together is they talk about their sexual relationship, their sexual self. And it's amazing, you know, this one couple in particular could not even be honest with the other person about what they were thinking about themselves sexually or their mate sexually. It's really important to learn to be authentic with yourself and with your mate. And some of you may even need to stop and take some time to think, you know, what are my dreams? Because some of us, as we go through our life, have kind of squished our dreams, and they're still there, but we're not giving good attention to them. And I think sometimes we need to go back to that and connect to our heart and God.
Yeah, I agree totally. Well, I think the other thing that if you want to have an affair, make sure you are too busy for your own heart, for your heart's, the heart of your spouse, for the relationship, for the friendship.
Work all the time.
Work all the time.
That's a great way to do it. Or let things build up. Let resentment grow. A lot of times people think, well, they'll minimize hurts. But over time, resentment grows. And I've seen it 7 years down the road. And that's when people are usually ready to walk out the door.
Yeah. Yeah, they're the couples we ask continually, why are you here? What do you want to work on this? Yeah. The other thing that if you want to have an affair is don't accept responsibility for your own happiness and for your own feelings. Just continue to be defensive about them.
That's right. And certainly don't share your opinion. Make sure you keep the peace at all costs. For those of you who tend to be conflict avoiders, coming to the table and being honest may be a little bit scary for you. It may be that you need to sit down and write your spouse a letter as you try to open up that door. But it is really, really important for you to be able to be honest with yourself, with your spouse, and even be honest with them if you're feeling tempted to have an affair. Because if you tell your spouse, there's this person at work, I find them really attractive, I find myself drawn to them, it automatically puts your spouse back where they need to be, and it kind of boots the other person out of the picture, and the fantasy is dispelled.
Yeah. Well, and I think another thing, you may have said this, and it's because it's kind of been a thread throughout the whole thing, is tell yourself that you married the wrong person. And I love what you said, you quoted Dr. Shirley Glass earlier, is be the person in the marriage that you are in the affair. And we forget. I think we do that because we forget why we fell in love in the first place.
Right. And one of the top things that I see people do over and over and over is they tell themselves commitment doesn't matter as much as true love. And I said it before, but I think it bears repeating. It's amazing the number of Christian clients who come in and say, you know, God, of course, would want me to be happy, and this person is the person that I think is going to make me happy. And so God may not like what I'm doing, but I think he's okay with it. And I think we as Christians need to be a little bit more honest about who we are to God and listen to God a little bit more in those areas.
Yeah, I hear that all the time. What is God telling you? Well, he wants me to be happy. And I'm not sure happiness is ever the goal.
Well, I'm not a biblical scholar, but I hear God promise us joy and peace a lot. Happiness is dependent on my circumstances. Joy, as we pursue God, is something that supersedes my circumstances. It doesn't go back and forth here and there. But as we wrap up our program tonight, I want to share some thoughts with you from Shirley Glass, whom we mentioned throughout this program. She would say definitively that you can have an affair without having sex with that person. She talks about infidelity as any emotional or sexual intimacy that violates trust. At the Affair Recovery Center, one of the ways we define infidelity is the keeping of secrets. Another way we define it is giving something to your affair partner that belongs to your spouse, or giving something to somebody outside of your marriage that belongs to your mate.
So I think we have a caller, Leslie.
Good.
So Greg, thanks for calling. Do you have a question or a comment?
Or would you like to share with us how you unintentionally set yourself up to have an affair?
Well, I didn't set myself up, but my wife had an affair in a previous marriage, and we've had a lot of problems and separated, and looks like she's headed toward divorce again, but she made the comment recently that she was in the same place she was in her first marriage with an affair, named the person she was in an affair with. She followed all the lines that y'all talked about earlier of getting in that affair, and because she's talked with me to some extent about it, not really until after I had confronted her about it, knowing it, but I feel like it may be happening again because of some coworkers and our problem. And how can I, or what can I do to, I don't know, to stop it, to know whether it's really happening or what. I want to save the marriage. And she says to the way she does, but in another sense, her actions don't show that at all. So any suggestions?
Well, have you asked her if she'd be willing to actually go for some counseling?
Well, we've been in counseling ever since we've been married.
Oh, really? How long have you all been married?
About 5.5 years.
Wow, so you've had kind of a rough go of it.
Yes. Well, we both came from a long marriage. It was very difficult. And once we got married, we were under some constant pressure for the first 2.5 years. But, yeah, I'm not this white horse on the knight on the white horse for Cinderella. And there's a couple of things that she thinks is more important in life, and I'm not able to necessarily do them to her expectations. And that's not fair either to me or to her.
So what do you feel like God's telling you?
Well, as I read in the Bible, God hates divorce, and I know what y'all said, that he can repair things, he can change things, he can make it right.
Absolutely.
But we both have to be willing to do it.
Right.
I don't think that one alone can totally do it.
So is she telling you that she's completely out of the marriage, or has she left the door open a little bit?
Left the door open a slight jar if I meet all these expectations or requirements or boundaries that have been told. But the pastor, there's no way he would do them. If his wife handed them to me, there's no way he could do them. And I've had others tell me the same thing. And if I was to do them, I would become a little boy or her master, I mean her slave, and it demeaned me as a person. I would be nobody. Because I would be turning everything in my life over to her for total control.
Have you asked God if he wants you to do those things?
As far as what she's asking?
Yeah. Because that may seem like a strange question, but a lot of times I've had God, you know, tell people, no, that's enough, you need to let go. But sometimes I've had clients that God was saying, no, go ahead and do this out of love. And that's why I really encourage you, Greg, to keep your eyes focused on God, because it doesn't have to make sense to other people. If you're doing what God is calling you to do and you follow him, then it's a win-win situation. And I don't say that lightly, because that's a huge challenge, and I'm really sorry for your pain and the struggles that you've been through. I don't know if you'd add anything, Wayne, as we're wrapping up.
Well, I just think along those lines of just listening to what God has to say And sometimes what you said, it doesn't make sense to other people. And, Greg, it may not even make sense to you at that time either. But if you have an inkling that God is leading you to do either that list or part of it, then do it and you can do it as a gift and an act of love to her.
And really to God, yeah. Because ultimately it's an right. act of love to God even before an act of love to her. But thank you so much for calling in. God bless you.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Affair Recovery Radio.
Thank you for joining us tonight and being a part of the newest addition to our services, Affair Recovery Radio, radio through the power of God. We'd like to invite you to go to our website, affairrecovery.com, and register for our free newsletter, as well as taking advantage of our free podcast. You will find that these resources are invaluable if you're trying to recover from some form of betrayal. We are here to help. We can also be contacted at 888-5-ARC-EMS. That's 888-5-ARC-EMS. And remember, there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Good night. God bless.
Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?